You're listening to the Church 2911 Sermons Podcast. You can find notes for this message along with more information about our church by visiting church2911.com. Here's our lead pastor, Rick Hand, with this week's message.
So, 7 weeks, 2 days ago, you know, I had that accident, and you know, you're sitting around, and you're basically in a recliner for, I'm out just a little bit more these days, but I'd still say over that time, 80% of the time I've been in the recliner. So you do that, you're sitting there, you get, you know, there's not a good TV when, you know, you're just looking for an hour, you know, but it's just not a lot. And so you're sitting there, you got all these thoughts, you know, you got just your thoughts and stuff. And, you know, fresh off of a, you want to call it a near-death experience, which it was a very bad accident. But you start thinking about things, and your thoughts are just there, and they just build on top of one another. I tell you something, with the concussion stuff, ADD is worse than it's ever been with me. I mean, right now, you know, if I'm not talking, I can't stay on a train of thought, you know. So it's just been a whole lot of stuff thinking. And when you're in this time like that, you start thinking about the important stuff. I mean, when you have a bad car accident, you have a death in the family, you start thinking about important stuff. And you look back into your past and you think about what you thought was important that really isn't, you know. And then you start looking at the future also. And you're saying, you know what, I don't want to go back to where I was, you know, because the things that I maybe was planning and thinking about, they were important. Those aren't the important things. And that's a great segue, I think, into this sermon, this introduction today, is thinking about the important things. I want us to start there. And I got a list of things that we do as human beings, things that are important. These are important things to do. Sleep, that's important. And eat, somebody say amen. Hallelujah, that's important to eat. Yep, get an education, work a job, exercise, use deodorant. If you work closely with other people, let me tell you, they want you to know that one's important. And these next two also, take regular showers and brush their teeth. Things like do the laundry, car maintenance, pay bills, file our taxes, share with others, honesty, friendliness. All those things are important. Now, which is the most important thing? He's not up there yet. I'm sorry. But of these things that we do on a regular basis, which is the most important thing to do? It's hard to say that, is it? Well, let me give you two answers. And one of these I've given you several times in sermons. It's the first one about specifically what is the most important thing to do. Whatever it's time to do right now. You know, like right now, it's 10:30. Well, 10:57 now. 10:30 on a Sunday morning, it's time to be in church. This is the most important thing to do. Emergencies come up, of course, yeah. But this is the most important thing to do. In a couple of months, you know, it'll be April. And if you have not filed your taxes by April 15th, the most important thing you can do on April 15th is file your taxes. So sometimes, you know, it's like transient. It's like, this is the most important thing. This is the most important thing, you know, and it's just whatever is time to do right now. When it's family time, that's the most important thing. Whatever it's time to do right then, that's the most important thing. But that's kind of a specific thing. But what about generally speaking? Overall, what is the most important thing? Now, I tried to figure out how to word this one exactly, and it's kind of wordy, but like, what comes to mind during life's most serious moments? Okay, here's what I mean by that. You parents, I think, will get it. When your teenager is leaving the house on Friday night to go hang out with their friends, you're thinking about the most important thing. You're probably saying as they're walking out the door, the most important thing to you right then, right? You're not talking about the stats from the basketball game yesterday. You know, what do you think about? Dava's dad, he used to tell her all the time when she was leaving the house, don't pick up hitchhikers, you know? And it was so important to him. He was so worried. I don't know why he was worried she was going to do that. She's never picked up a hitchhiker in her life, but he wanted to make sure she stuck with that rule and never did that. And then when Brent, our son, his grandson, came along, what he told him all the time was, don't do drugs, you know, because that was the most important thing to him. He wanted to make sure that we didn't do it, that they didn't do it. Well, you know, my mom, when she passed away just a few years back, she was going in for a surgery, and we did not know at that time that she would just live a few more days we knew it was serious and all that, but we didn't know. But as they were wheeling her down the hallway on her way to surgery, she was yelling back at me. She couldn't turn, but she was trying to yell back over her head to me, and she was calling every kid's name and every grandkid's name that she had. And she was calling all those names out. She said, tell them, tell so-and-so, 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 so-and-so. She kept calling all the names. She said, tell them, I will see them in heaven. And me and the nurses, we were saying, Mom, that's not what this surgery is. You're not dying. But that was the last word she spoke that any of us could understand. Something inside of her told her, maybe she knew, I don't know. But in that moment, in that serious moment, what comes to mind? That was the most important thing in her life, was for her kids and her grandkids to be in heaven with her one day. That was the most important thing. And so that's why she called out. So what's the most important thing? I'm setting something up here for you. I want you to see something with me, okay? I got another list. This is a list of important things for Christians. Read the Bible. Pray. Gather together like we're doing right now. Worship corporately like Brent talked about last week. And privately. Fellowship. We like that around here. We don't have a problem with that at all, right? We serve God and others. We give. We witness and share Jesus. Family, that's still important as Christians. Love one another. Sacrifice. And a whole bunch more stuff that we do. Okay, so now, if we apply my two criteria there, again, what is the most important specifically, if you know, if we're looking for specifics, whatever it's time to do right now. Again, 10:30 a.m. Sunday morning, it's time to go to church. You know, and whatever you've set up in your life, you know, when do you read your Bible? You know, if you don't have a time set, you're probably not going to do it on a regular basis. But when you set that time, that's the most important thing to do because this is the time. So specifically, we have those kinds of issues, but it's hard to pick one of those, isn't it? Except generally speaking, what comes to your mind or what came to Jesus' mind in the most serious moment of his life? Because in the same way, the thing that he shares something that I think is most important. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 through 20 says, let me take a drink of water, very dry these days. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Let me throw this in here. I learned that at about 11 or 12 years old because I went to Royal Ambassador's Boys Club on Tuesday nights, and you had to learn several scriptures. That was one I learned. So I just wanted you to know, learning scripture is important because it'll stick with you when you really learn it, okay? So go ahead and do that. That's King James Version. That's where I learned it, you know, back in those days. We didn't believe in all those other versions, right, translations, you know. But that was King James. And so this is the thing that Jesus pulls out. And he says, now think about where he's at. He's about to leave. Matthew 28, there's not a chapter 29. Jesus is about to leave. And so he had one of those moments like David's dad. Okay, you're about to leave me. I'm about to leave you. We're about to be separated. What is the most important thing I can tell you? He had that moment like my mom did, wheeling down, going toward that surgery. And Jesus knew, I'm not going to speak to you guys anymore. So here's the thing that is the most important thing. He could have said, pray. He had taught him about praying. He could have said love, because he taught a lot about love. And that's how all men will know you're his disciples, is if you have love for one another. But he said this about this going and giving and sharing Jesus and sharing the gospel. Look, here's what he's saying to these guys, these 11 disciples. He had 12. Judas hung himself, remember? So these 11 disciples that were there with him, right before he ascends to go back to the Father, he says, you know all that stuff in that. You know all that. You know every bit of it. Now it's time for you to make sure others know it. That's what he's saying. He said, now it's time to make sure others know it. They had been with him. Anybody know how long have they been with Jesus following him? Somebody say 3 years. Let me ask you a question. Everyone in this room that has been a Christian for at least 3 years, raise your hand. Look around. Whoa. You've got no excuse, right? You've been following Jesus at least as long as Simon and Andrew, and James, John, Philip, Thomas, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon, Thaddeus, Judas, and Bartholomew. You've been following Jesus just as long as they have. And so what he says to them, you know all of these things, but now it's time for you to go make sure other people know these things. You know, we were doing, during this time that I've been out, we're kind of going week to week a little bit. You know, I just let Brent and Kurt know, hey, I'm just not going to be able to next week. And, you know, because, you know, I thought they told me I'd be out. I probably wouldn't feel like preaching for 4 weeks. So I figured, no, I'll be back in two. You know, that's what you think, right? And it didn't happen that way. So we were kind of going a week by week. But finally in January, about midway of January, I said, look, it's going to be February. I can just tell as slow as this is going. So that enabled Brent to do that little two-week mini-series the last 2 weeks, last week and the week before. And he was able to do a little quick series, so it'd have a little bit of, you know, a little bit of connection there. And so he asked me, he said, is there something you'd like me to share? And I said, what have you got on your heart? Because, you know, if you've got something on your heart, you need to share that. And he said, well, what would you say if I ask you, just give me something? And so I told him, I said, well, where I'm going with this sermon series and the theme and the focus for 2026 for our church, you know, where I really want you to, you know, I really say, do some stuff on foundations, those things up there. Talk about those things. And then Brent told me, well, that's kind of what I'm working on. Last week's sermon was on foundations. It was exact, because so God had, it was sharing that with me, and he was sharing that with Brent, and then we got our heads together and realized God already had us, our heads together before we knew it. And so that's why he shared those things, because they're there. I want you to understand, you know all these things. You see, I've been fighting with God about this a little bit past several years. I've been wanting to have a really strong emphasis of getting out there and reaching people, inviting people to church and praying with them and helping people come to know Jesus and sharing the gospel with him. But, you know, I keep struggling with this, and I don't know if it's God holding me off, or maybe it was just me, as I say, struggling with that, because I'm thinking, well, you know what, but we really aren't praying like we need to, and maybe we need to focus on that. So we focused on that last year. Maybe we need to focus on that before we start talking more about evangelism. And, you know, I don't know that we're reading the Bible like we should be, and that all of us are digging in. And, you know, but you know what? We finally come to a time. Last summer, we were in the just a little over halfway through our year of prayer. And last summer, I felt God speaking to me saying, it's time. 2026 is going to be the year that we start a focus of reaching our community. Because you know what? You know all this stuff. Brent preached that last week, and how much did you hear that you've never heard before? He shared in different ways and different challenges maybe, but we know this stuff. And just like Jesus was probably saying to the disciples, you know all of this, but now it's time to make sure someone else knows. And that doesn't mean that you can't learn. I guarantee you, your prayer life may have grown tremendously last year. But I guarantee you there is still more for your prayer life. You can find more power and anointing and peace and comfort. You can find all of that if you just keep going after it in prayer. So I'm not saying that you know everything you need to know. You still need to read the Bible. Maybe you're reading every day. I don't know how long I've been reading the Bible. I remember at the age of 12 asking for a particular study Bible for Christmas one year at the age of 12. So I know that long, 50 plus years now, right? Right? Everybody right? Yeah, I'm 65. Yeah, 53 years. So I know I've been reading the Bible that long for myself, not depending on my mom and dad. But every single time I open the Bible, I see something else. I see something new. I see something other. I see something deeper. So I'm not saying that you know everything and you don't need to read the Bible anymore, or that we're not going to preach this stuff to you, because we're going to keep preaching this stuff to you. But you know what? We know this stuff backwards and forwards. We've had as much time with Jesus as the disciples. Most of us have had as much time with Jesus as the disciples have. So we need to now move on to making sure somebody else knows this. And let me ask this one little thing about all that before I go on. Is when Jesus was telling the disciples this, was this a corporate thing? Was he saying, okay, all you guys, make sure these things happen. You know, you as a group, make sure this happens. So, you know, if Peter, James, and John, if you go out and share the gospel, then Philip, Thomas, You know, Andrew, y'all don't have to do it because they're taking care of it. You know, just make sure it somebody's doing it. Is that what he was saying? Was he saying, just make sure somebody's doing it? Or was he saying, you, each of you, know all of this, and now you must make sure everyone knows this. He wasn't speaking to a group. He was speaking to them individually. We know that, right? We understand that. But don't we sometimes take it like, oh, he's just speaking to the group. We support missionaries. We give to missions. So, you know, somebody's doing it, so just let them do it. He's talking to me. He's talking to you. You know all of this backwards and forwards. And now it's time for you to make sure someone else knows. And so our theme, our focus for this year is right from Matthew 28:19. Go teach all. That's what we're going to focus on this year. Is we're going to focus on making sure others know what we already know. All right, so that's the introduction. Now I'm going to preach the sermon, all right? And that doesn't mean there's another 30 minutes, okay? Because I knew there was going to, half of it was going to be introduction. And then this is, now I'm going to preach to you, go part one, okay? Go part one. And there's three parts to go part one. I'm going to share these with you, and we're going to close in prayer and song in just a few moments. But let me share three things with you about go, okay? First of all, it's not really a definition, but really it's kind of a definition. To go means to move from one place to another, right? Okay, we're called to go, and go means to move from one place to another. That, okay, yeah, that means go, right? Doesn't, yeah, okay. Or to leave or depart. I'm going to go somewhere, right? So to leave or depart, and it means to change the status quo. I go from one thing to another. I go from being a preteen to a teen. I go from being a teen to being an adult, right? So it means to go, you know, to change the status quo. Ryan, would you get me a tissue, please? Go get me a tissue. But don't leave your seat. Now, in case y'all think he's really confused, I told him before service I was going to do that, and he told me he was going to do that. We get it, don't we? You can't go without leaving. You can't stay and go. Stay and go are two different things. They are the opposites. You cannot stay who you are, where you are, doing what you've been doing. The status quo has to change if you're going to go. And we are called to go. And how many of you go? Now, spiritually speaking, you know, we may not be going in the way I'm preaching about right now, but we're going. How many of y'all feel like you go all the time? Anybody got small kids? You know, you're going all day long without even leaving the house. You know, right? So we go plenty. We go every day. But here's what must change. What must change is to make sure our going has purpose. Because if your going doesn't have purpose, you're not going to get anything done. You go all the time. You ever heard that saying, like a chicken with its head cut off? Y'all ever seen that? I have. When I was growing up, my next door neighbor, not right next to me, but the next one, two doors down, they had chickens. And one day I was in the backyard when the dad was killing the hen. They were going to cook it, you know, and he chopped off the head. And the chicken took off running. And it just ran and ran. And I'd heard that before, but I just was amazed to watch it. And you know what? The chicken had no direction. It couldn't see where it was going because Dad was still holding, you know, the part that could see in his hand, right? And so the chicken couldn't see where it's going. And I wonder if that's not who we are sometimes. We're busy. We got plenty of places to go and things to do. But is there any purpose in it? Teenagers, listen to me. Have you ever considered that you are in the school you're in on purpose? God's purpose? No, it's because my mom and dad bought a house in this school district. That's why. No, God was a part of that too. Have you ever considered, and not just the school, just even think about the classes that you're in. Have you ever considered, I am in this class today on purpose, God's purpose? Because you don't know, think about it, you don't know what kinds of things happened, and you know, behind the scenes where maybe, you know, they were scheduling classes this way, something didn't work out, and they changed everything at the last moment. And so now you're in a different class, and you never knew that. You thought that was a class you were always going to be a part of, but God had a hand in that because he wanted you somewhere on purpose. And maybe there's two or three people sitting around you. Have you ever thought, I'm sitting next to these people on God's purpose? Because if you ever get that, it's going to change your attitude about how you go. And when you go to school, you're going to say, I'm going to school on God's purpose. Man, that ought to make going to school a lot easier, right? It's that I'm going on purpose. I'm sitting by these people on purpose. I have a purpose of being in this classroom. Those of you who work jobs, have you ever considered that you're working in that company on purpose, on God's purpose? Wouldn't it make going to work easier if you could just focus on the fact that God has a purpose in every place I go today? That doesn't mean you're going to work that job for the rest of your life, but you're there today or tomorrow, whatever, you're there right now. And God has a purpose in you being there right now. Those of you who work out, you go to a particular gym. There's a bunch of gyms around. You know, it's getting so bad, we got almost as many gyms as we have Dollar Generals, right? You know, we got so many gyms around, and they still haven't gotten me to sign up yet. You know, but have you ever thought about why you go to that gym? I know you've got a reason. Somebody you knew or something. You got to connect. But do you ever think that maybe it's God's purpose that I am at that particular gym? Did you ever think that? That it's God's purpose, and sometimes you go and maybe you're early or you're late and you run into somebody, maybe they're early or late. Did you ever think about maybe I met them today because of God's purpose? Man, would it change our lives if we stopped just going and we saw every single day, wherever I'm going today, I'm going on God's purpose. There are going to be divine appointments in my day today that are on purpose, God's purpose. It would change things. We are called to go. All right, secondly, we're called to be God's first responders. Now, I love first responders. We got a bunch of them around here. But be careful the questions you ask a first responder. Okay, I'll tell you a little story. This was years ago. This was back before some of you were even born. But let me go ahead and set this up, say, but this wasn't back in the, you know, ancient old days or anything before cell phones. I did have cell phones, all right? So it wasn't way, way back, but it's back before some of you were born. I had a friend call me one night. It was about dark. It was during the summer, so it was 7:30, 8 o'clock, something like that. And her husband was boating that day. And he had not come home, and it was getting dark, and she said, I just want to know, should I be worried yet? He was on a remote part of the river that he didn't have cell service, so he had not checked in with her, and she couldn't reach him. And she said, I don't really know. We didn't say what time, because really they were unfamiliar with that part of the river that he was on that day. So she didn't know. She said, like, how long should it take him to get from point A to point B? I didn't know, you know. But I was her friend that she thought might know. So I'm thinking, now, listen, I'm a fixer. You know, I want to fix things for everybody, you know. So I'm not going to say, I don't really know. You'll have to call somebody else. Hang up. I'm not going to do that. I got to find some way to get her an answer. And I say, hey, look, I'll call somebody and I'll find out. And do you remember what the question was? How long should it take him to get from point A to point B so I'll know if I need to be worried yet or not? That's the question. But I got to thinking, okay, who would know this? And I thought through my friends, and I don't know anybody. I didn't know anybody that was familiar with that part of the river. So, and I didn't know how much of this was going on, you know, and how slow the river was. I mean, that goes based on how much rain we've had lately and all that. So I couldn't answer, and I didn't know anybody that could. So I started thinking, who would know? Who would have an answer there? And I thought, well, it's got to be people. It's got to be somebody that's familiar with the outdoors. You know, they like to be outdoors. So, and river, probably a fisherman, people who fish, and maybe hunters. You know, hunters have probably been around that part. People that kind of get out of the community a good bit, you know, and they're in a lot of different areas, not just the same area day after day. And so, you know, I thought, firemen, You know, most of the firemen I know, they're outdoorsy people. You know, they fish, they hunt, that kind of thing. They go around a lot of different places. And I thought, if they don't know, they will probably know somebody that knows. And there'll be several firemen at the station. So I picked up the phone and I called the station. It was closest to that part of the river. And so I, you know, I kind of set it all up and say, here's we just want to know. What's the question, remember? How long should it take to get from point A to point B? Is there anybody there at the fire station that would know that, that's familiar with that part of the river? Now, if I'd have gotten somebody about my age, a fireman about my age, he probably would have said, oh, it'll take 3 or 4 hours. Don't worry about it. Call us back if you need anything. And probably been done with it, you know. That's why we don't have firemen my age around, you know, because we want, you know, people who actually do something, right? That's why most firemen you see are younger guys. Well, I got a young whippersnapper that day, you know, so I laid the scenario out and I asked the question. What was the question? How long does it take to get from point A to point B? He never heard the question. I told him all of that. And I said, so how long does anybody there know how long it takes to get from point A to point? He didn't hear that. And he just said, we'll go get him. And I'm like, no. And you know, I'm fumbling over my words trying to explain to him. I don't want you guys to get out and get him. We don't know. He might be okay. It might just be a long. He didn't hear any of that. He just said, we'll handle it. And he didn't hang up on me, but he was in a hurry. You got to go get the boat and everything. That's what first responders do. Here's the thing about first responders. They don't have an attitude of I have to, but I get to. They have trained. They have worked hard to get to where they are as a fireman, policeman, or medical person, or whatever. They've worked hard to get to that. And so when the need arises, it's not, oh, do I have to? Now, I know some of those, check my pressure. I know some of those, yeah. I have to, like, I get to. They're thinking, this may be the day, this may be the call that I'm going on, that I get to impact somebody's life today. That's what they think. That all of my training may be for this moment right here. That's what God has called us to. To not sit back and say, well, somebody will probably do it. Somebody will probably invite them to teens on Wednesday night. Somebody will probably pray over their need that they just shared with all of us. I'll let, you know, hey, I think that guy's a preacher. Let him do that. Somebody else will do it. He's called to be first responders, where we have this attitude, not that I have to, I get to. I know where some of you are right now. You're already thinking, yep, end of this sermon, there's going to be a QR code. Pastor's going to make me sign up to do something that I'm going to be scared to death to do. That's not where this is going, okay? Get that out of your mind right now, okay? Just stick with me here. I'm preaching right now about the imperative of go, but in just a moment, I want to talk to you about the simplicity of go, all right? So here's the thing that we do. We say, oh, do I have to? But finish that question. What are you saying there? Do I have to tell somebody else how much Jesus means to me? Is that really the question we want to be asking? Do I have to tell somebody else that Jesus saved my marriage? Do I have to tell somebody else that Jesus healed me of cancer? No, the attitude should be, maybe today I get to tell somebody how much Jesus means to me. Oh, somebody help me here. Maybe today I get to tell somebody how Jesus has changed my life so radically. Maybe today I get to tell somebody how Jesus saved my marriage and he can save their marriage. Maybe today is the day I get to tell somebody how Jesus healed me of cancer. And maybe we go beyond just hoping and we start praying, Jesus, make today be the day I get to share how much you have meant to me in my life. Jesus is calling us. Yeah, go ahead. Give him a hand of praise. He's called us to be his first responders. To have the attitude, I get to share Jesus with somebody. Thirdly, we are called to those who have not heard yet. That's who we're called to. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. You've heard me share that as how easy it is to become a Christian. First step's real easy. I paraphrase it by just basically it says all you got to do is believe in your heart Jesus is who he says he is, and then tell people, profess, confess, say it out loud, I am a Christian. That's what Romans 10, 9 and 10 says. Boom, and you start your walk with Christ. And as you go down, that's verse 9 and 10. As you go down to verse 13, then it quotes from Joel chapter 2, verse 32. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Awesome. Awesome. So anybody that calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That is great. But how can they call on him to be saved? How can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? Okay, well, that makes sense? Yeah? Okay. Y'all help me. Okay. Not a trick question. That makes sense, right? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? That makes sense, right? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? How can they hear about him unless someone tells them? We are called to the ones who have not yet heard. You know all that stuff on that list. You know all that. But now you're called to make sure somebody else knows that about the goodness of Jesus, about the freedom, the liberty, the deliverance, the power, the strength, the peace, the comfort. All of those things, you're now called to those who don't know that yet and to share that with them. 30 years ago, some odd years, prehistoric for some of you guys, right? I remember hearing this quote, and I don't remember who I heard say it. And I always like to give credit to the person that said it because it's really a pet peeve of mine to see some public speaker say something, and I know it came from somebody else, and they act like they said it. So it's a pet peeve of mine. So I do research like that. And the farthest I can find back is I first heard this, and other people have said it a little different way, but Paul Harvey was once said it. Paul Harvey's gone on to be with the Lord now, but he was a radio personality. He was called the voice of the Midwest. He just had just some great wisdom. Some of it was, he was a Christian, so a lot of it was Christian, just Christian-based, but a lot of it was just good wisdom that he shared. And this is what he said. This is the quote. We've drifted away from being fishers of men to being keepers of the aquarium. Pause and ponder that for a moment. Just think about that for a moment as we sit here in our big fishbowl. Are we keepers of the aquarium, or are we fishers of men?
Thanks for listening to the Church 2911 Sermons Podcast. If you have a need, we would love to pray with you. You can connect with our prayer team by emailing prayer@church2911.com or by texting 205-476-2911. You can learn more about our church by visiting us online at church2911.com and by connecting with us on Facebook and Instagram at church2911. We hope this message has encouraged you and reminded you that God loves you and has an amazing dream for your life. As always, we dare you to dream.